Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything You want with me, at any cost. Work Your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my talks today on the subject of suffering. That is a rather frightening and, as the British might say, off-putting word, isn't it? My definition of suffering, which I hope would cover every single thing that is of any sort of trouble to you, anything about which you would say, oh no, my definition is this: having what you don't want and wanting what you don't have. One of the grievous sins in the Garden of Eden was that grasping, greedy desire for possession. And it was possession of the not given. We see a lot of evidence of man's greed in the world today, don't we? When I read of the stripping of the beautiful rainforests of the Northwest, stripping for lumber, I read of how rivers and seas are almost fished out. I think of man's greed. It's wonderful that God has provided us with trees to cut down for wood and for fires and houses and paper and all of these things. But do we need that much? Do we need to strip the earth of everything? I read that there are methods of practically vacuum cleaning the floors of the seas, and much of what is swept up is discarded because it's not edible, but it is the small creatures and the eggs and all sorts of things on which the next generation would depend. So our greed is nothing new, but it is more and more destructive. I think of Norwegian salmon, for example. God gave the Norwegians enough salmon for the Norwegians' needs, but I'm not sure that God intended that Norwegian salmon should be shipped all over the world. Does that make sense to you? Well, think about that for a minute. You know, it's a luxury. No, we don't really need Norwegian salmon, but my husband, who is a Norwegian, thinks it's one of the greatest delicacies in the world. But then I think, one of these days, there isn't going to be any more salmon of any sort in this world at the rate we're consuming it. We have a huge Russian factory ship anchored just offshore from our house. We can see its lights at night, and I understand that they are buying all the herring that the Gloucester fishermen bring in. Well, what's that got to do with the subject of suffering? We were talking about that sin from the Garden of Eden of wanting what is not given. And when we desire what is not given, we're very likely also to be sinning by refusing what is given. We all sin in both ways, don't we? We need to learn to open our hands. When I'm uptight, worried about something, anxious, dreading something, it helps me just to open my hands quietly in my lap. And then if I'm not in a public place where it would be conspicuous or peculiar, I lift my hands to God. I say to Him, in effect, I'll relinquish this, my fear, my anger, my money, my ambition. And Lord, I'll take Your choice, Your way, Your purpose, Your will. So I open my hands to relinquish, and I keep them open to receive. Is there something in your life today that you need to let go of? Open your hands. Keep them open and say, Lord, what is it You want to give me in exchange? I think you'll find relief as I have. Lilias Trotter, in her books, paints beautiful watercolors of the flowers of the North Africa desert. and draws from them the most marvelous spiritual analogies. And she tells about the calyx, the function of the flower's calyx. They are many hands folded back past all power of closing. When the calyx has let go of the petals, they fold themselves back. You've seen that, haven't you? In a dead wild rose, for example. These tiny hands folded back past all power of closing. In my book, A Path Through Suffering, I tell about reading the letters of Joan Andrews, a woman who was willing literally to renounce her rights and her liberty for the sake of the liberation of others, the liberation of those smallest, most helpless, and voiceless ones, the pre-born. She serves the pro-life cause by her willingness to be treated as the unborn are treated, rejected as they are rejected. For her unbreakable passive resistance, Joan Andrews has been arrested more than 120 times, and finally she was sentenced to 5 years, most of it in solitary confinement. Some of her letters are quoted in the book that I was reading, describing prison conditions, and I have to say that I was just aghast when I read this, and some of you who are listening to me are in prison, aren't you? You write to me, and I want to thank you for that. And I want to encourage you to cling closely to Christ. If these are conditions which describe what you live in today, she said that there was almost continuous screaming and cursing, homosexual activity, and mental breakdowns almost routinely. And to her, so small a thing as not being allowed to write a letter with a pen was hard. She said, I hate writing with a pencil. One of the inmates here who did some time at Broward said that the inmates there were permitted to use pens. I can't wait to get there. Never thought something so little would mean so much. Often, the things which are taking place in the spiritual life are hidden to all but the eye of God. The outward appearance seems nothing but an unnecessary waste. The judge who imposed Joan Andrews' sentence said, it's a shame Miss Andrews has chosen to waste her life in prison instead of accomplishing something. That judge obviously didn't know anything about the privilege, as she regarded it, as the apostles also regarded it, to suffer shame for the name of Christ. Paul even called it a happiness. Joan had not chosen to waste her life, but to spend it for her master. A very different thing, and frequently misinterpreted. She had, like the calyx, unclasped her hands utterly, past all power of closing again. And there she sits in her cell, praying, singing, writing her letters, encouraging and ministering to other prisoners, and even in solitary, she was able to read the Bible to the girl in the next cell. We used to have a magnolia tree, also called a tulip tree here in Massachusetts, on our front lawn. The velvety buds would be there all winter, and suddenly, one spring day, they would burst into bloom. There wasn't a leaf on the tree, only hundreds of lovely, tall, pink and white tulip-shaped cups. I drank in its beauty from the window of my study, knowing that it would be very short-lived. And then always I could be sure that in maybe 2 or 3 days I would look out the window and there would be this scattering of pink scraps on the green lawn. And the question comes, why this waste? Why this sacrifice? Why this, when things seemed so promising? Well, often there seems to be no visible reason for our having to let go. But our spiritual life in Christ depends upon it. The life out of death cycle must proceed. There are many voices today to advocate escape from suffering, aren't there? We have many modern methods of insulating ourselves from even the weather, the temperature, the wetness. Also, there are the methods now, so commonplace, of drugs, divorce, abortion, euthanasia, suicide. All of them used to escape from suffering. A friend of mine wrote how far we are from saying with St. Paul, "All I care for is to know Christ, to experience the power of his resurrection, and to share his sufferings in growing conformity with his death." In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, it says, "So that through death he might break the power of him who had death at his command, that is, the devil, and might liberate those who through fear of death had all their lifetime been in servitude. It is not angels, mark you, that he takes to himself, but the sons of Abraham. And therefore he had to be made like these brothers of his in every way, so that he might be merciful and faithful as their high priest before God, to expiate the sins of the people. For since he himself has passed through the test of suffering, he is able to help those who are meeting their test now." If you had been among those standing at the foot of the cross with the worshipers, such as Mary and the other women, might you have thought of that question, why this waste? Such a perfectly pure, sinless, blameless, God-pleasing life. Well, there in that passage in Hebrews is the answer, isn't it? It's not angels that he takes to himself, but the sons of Abraham, and therefore he had to be made like these brothers of his in every way. Our Lord Jesus was made like us. He has entered into your suffering. He bore your griefs. He carries your sorrows today. May you recognize that the stripping is never for nothing. God help you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.